Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, we're going to jump straight in and have a talk to two deadly sisters here, Ashley and Taylor Ung of Spinifex Gum. Now, it's upcoming tour to London to perform at the Barbican with the Mass Choirs. We're talking Spinifex Gum taking on Barbican with the Mass Choirs and part protest, part celebration. Spinifex Gum is a uniquely modern Australian song cycle featuring the award-winning all-female ensemble, Marala, a Cairns-based ensemble of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander teenage singers, conducted by Lynn Williams, AM of Gondwana Choirs, and choreographed by Deborah Brown. So let's start with the having the yarns with the two deadly sisters. Good morning, girls. How are we?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Fantastic. That was a nice greet there together, harmonising, just saying hello. Fantastic. So Ashley and Taylor Ung.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's the older sister?
Ashley is.
Ashley. Mm-hmm. And Taylor pointed directly to her. Thank you. Respect the elders, Taylor. Thank you. So before we start, who your mob were you from, girls?
So Taylor and I, our family's from Badu, but we're living here in Cairns.
So. Okay, fantastic. So Badu mob, shout out big Badu mob. Is that from mum's side or dad's side?
Dad's
side. All right, fantastic. And so we're talking about travelling to London and use your deadly voices, singing in a choir. So tell us how this all came about. Let's start with that. Spinifex Gum is who is the choir that you're singing with, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so Spinifex Gum's the project, but the choir is actually called Malia Choir.
Malia.
Yeah, so Malia Choir is a sub-branch choir from the Gondwana Indigenous Children's Choir, and then that's a sub-branch from the Gondwana Choir.
All the connections.
Yeah.
The black people belongs to that. All the connections, join the dots. Yeah. Fantastic. So you're off to London. You're flying out today, are you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, okay. This afternoon.
Well, as I mentioned, I've been working out, so if you want someone to carry your bags, please, I'm available.
I mean, they're a bit heavy. We're going for 10 days.
I've been working out. I'll come to London. So tell us, how long's the journey for?
Yeah, it's about 10 days we're over in London for, staying on the countryside the first half of it and then heading over to mainland London in the second half of that tour.
Beautiful. So how many girls singing in the choir?
We've got about 17 girls travelling with us. We've also got our cultural advisors, Lorraine and Michael Woodley.
Big shout out, Michael, Lorraine, Woodley. Yep, advisors, cultural advisors, yep.
From the Yindjibarndi community in the Pilbara region. They're the people who have generously given their stories so that we can sing them in our show Spinifex Gum.
Yep.
And then we've also got our managers as well.
Okay, fantastic. So you're two of the girls, so there's 15 other girls.
Yeah.
17 all told.
Yeah.
And the 15 girls, are they from across the country or where do they come from?
So we're all based in Cairns. So
In Cairns?
Yeah, so we all live in Cairns. Of course, some of us have moved off to different places. Some of us in Brisbane, some of us in Townsville for different study regions. Some of us are still in Cairns.
Yep.
But we're all from Cairns and our mob is either from... You know, we also have, Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander background. So,
fantastic. So how did it start for you two girls? Were you at high school and decided to start with a choir? Here we are, Spinifex Gum. Or how did it all come about for you two?
So for me, I've been in the choir a bit longer than Taylor, just age reasons because I'm old. So I started in the Gondwana Indigenous Children's Choir in primary school. Mm. And then... as the opportunity to be in Malia Choir just came about a couple years as I was into the Indigenous Choir, I just got sort of just asked to come in, join in, do some recording sessions to be for the first album that was released, I think back in 2017, 2018 kind of time. And then it just kind of stemmed from there. We were getting asked to do shows. Our very first show was in Monash University. And then it just basically grew from there. I was just, getting asked to perform to all these different places.
And you then ranked your sister in the...
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, come along, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. Like, I joined Gondwana a couple of years after Ashley because I wasn't old enough as yet. Then I slowly...
But she gave you the inspiration. Your big sister gave you the
inspiration. Yeah, exactly.
I saw her doing it, I was like, I want to do that. Yeah, so I started just, like, learning all the choreography, learning all the songs. Just, like, I was learning at the same time she was, but it wasn't until, like, 2018 when I did my first... My first tour with Spinifex Gum, and I absolutely loved it. My first tour was going down to Melbourne and singing in the, and going to Canberra as well, singing in Parliament House. So that was a very good experience.
Beautiful. Yeah. Fantastic. So there it is. All right. So with that, now you're studying, aren't you, Ashley?
Yeah, I am.
And what are you studying?
Speech pathology.
Okay, and you're doing that in Townsville,
yeah.
JCU?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't do speech pathology up here in Cairns?
No. So no. What happens with it, with rehearsals and stuff, is that they just tell me the dates and I put in the effort to drive back up home, do the rehearsals, make sure I got my study done and then go back.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. And so... singing is, we are storytellers as First Nation people and using voices to tell stories virtually. So we're talking language songs as well?
Yes. So the songs that we sing are mixed with English and Yindjibarndi. So there, a few songs are all about just the choir itself, like just our like sister-like kind of culture.
At the bond, other.
Yeah. And then a few other songs are a bit more like truth-telling songs. We have a few about like death in custody, stolen generation.
Sure.
They're just to sort of highlight, I guess, just some of the things that have happened.
Well, like I said, we are storytellers and using song voices as the vehicle to tell the stories, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact that you get to do it overseas and doing it in London, so-called where the so-called white sails came from, you know, so delivering a message in more ways than one. It creates a nice space for a young sisters to perform, tell their story, but then travel at the same time. And this can be a pathway for a future entity for a person to be in a career pathway for like singing. That is that an opportunity, or this is the part you are studying and you can't be like a part of a choir, it becomes a ongoing thing. Could it not?
I guess it could be. Like, I feel like I've always gonna have the choir in my life, but I guess maybe the role in which I take would be a bit different. So I could go from being in the choir to potentially managing the choir instead.
Okay, sure.
I guess as I get older, different commitments and stuff, we definitely work in that way where different opportunities can arise. So we've had girls within our choir do some songwriting. So we record those songs and they go out on our album. So that's just a different way in which the choir can work and just provide new opportunities for girls already in our choir. And so I have a role already where me and another girl in our choir, we teach the next generation of girls all the choreography.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Fantastic. And when you look at it, that's how we pass our college and knowledge on, pass on the young ones. Here we are, here you are, grabbing your younger sister to come and join the choir. You know what I mean? And that's a part of our makeup, isn't it? And that's why 60,000 years, stories will be told and keep being told. Yes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, off to London. That is this afternoon, 10-day trip. And, big shout-out, conductor Lynn Williams, AM of Gondwana Choirs, and also choreographed by Deborah Brown. So give me a bit of background about Lynn Williams and Deborah Brown, sisters.
Yeah, so Lynn Williams is the artistic director and founder of the Gondwana Choirs. And then underneath the Gondwana Choirs, we have all the different subsections. So she has Sydney Children's Choir, Gondwana Voices, and a few other ones, but including the Gondwana Indigenous Children's Choir. So we had originally met Lynn via joining the Gondwana Indigenous Children's Choir.
Yeah.
And then throughout our time in Mali, as we were developing it into the show Spinifex Gum, obviously we need some killer dance moves. So,
so you shake booty while singing too, do you?
Oh, maybe just a little bit.
A little bit. There you go. Don't hurt yourself now.
Yeah, so through like the connections with Bangara, we had acquired Auntie Deb.
Yes.
To come in, and she has done just an amazing job of bringing in just some of her Bangara background into our dance, into our show.
Yeah.
That just adds an additional layer of how powerful and connected we are.
Yeah. And she also makes sure that like every movement we have has a relation, like has some meaning behind it. And I think that really that really influences and brings up.
Really tells the story, doesn't it?
It amplifies the picture. Our meaning,
Beautiful. Congratulations, girls. Do enjoy it. Other sisters, other siblings in the family?
Yeah. Just a brother. But
brother, older or younger?
Oh, younger brother.
Younger brother.
Yeah.
Possibly, is he looking? Nah, not him. kick it to me. He's looking at football, isn't he? Or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But there's heaps of sisters in the choir, and it's amazing. It's like another family.
Beautiful.
Which is so good.
Well, life's a journey. Enjoy the journey, my sisters.
Yeah,
thank you for coming here. Big shout out to your Dilly team. Travel safe and sing with your heart's desire. Sing it, tell the story, and represent your mob.
Will do. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, girls. Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there with the sisters, and we're talking Ashley and Taylor Ung from Spinifex Gum, and about to fly off to London for about 10 odd days, and the Cairns based at Marula. And that's the Cairns based ensemble of Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, and Teenage Singers, conducted by Lynn Williams, AM of Gondwana Choirs, and choreographer Deborah Brown. To Delhi, this is your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Delhi number here, 1-800-422-416. You are yarning with the bully one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your Delhi program, National Talk Black. All ears here. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
The first time I saw my baby begin to walk, it made me look. Now he can talk. And the last time I phoned my baby, it made him cry. And it made me cry. Now I know why. 'Cause he's starting to understand the meaning of love. No, I can't talk to my baby on the telephone when we're not at home and he's all alone. Oh, but I know what's going on in his mind when we're away. He'd like to say, come home to stay. And he is starting to understand the meaning of love. Yes, he's starting to understand the meaning of love. I wish I knew my own two sons when they were like him. But memories are dim. When he holds me tight and we share a kiss, oh, I wonder
Was it like this? And sometimes I think my baby is a wise old man. He helps me understand my little friend. And now I'm starting to understand the meaning of love. Yes, I'm starting to understand the meaning. Yes, I'm starting to understand the meaning of love. Yes, I'm starting to understand the meaning of love.
And I'm starting to understand the meaning of love. Just one man with a fear deep in my soul. Hey, do you feel the same? Are you feeling pain about these troubled times? This modern life, trouble and strife, it seems we're deeper in each day. Might be the way that we're living, might be some things we're forgetting. How long does this go on until the light of day? Look around us now, look at all we've done. Poison in the rivers, darkened in the sun. Poison in the sea, the very air we breathe. And nowhere safe to run, there's nowhere left to hide. Warning bells keep ringing, last chance for a new beginning. How long does this go on? Until the light of day. Look at Mother Nature and all she gives, and all she ever asks, she says, live and let live. We're living in a world where greed is king. It's easy to forget simple things. Warning bells keep ringing, last chance for a new beginning. How long does this go on until the light of day? Thank you.
Yeah, Daily Track there, Light of the Day, Gowanna, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yanav Strong. Give us a call. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yanav's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. As BB and Bumble Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yanav Strong, you mob. Now, vets raise the alarm on tick paralysis as peak season hits. As Australia enters the peak of its paralysis tick season, the risk to pets has never been higher. Despite the majority, 81% of Australians recognising that a single tick can bite can lead to paralysis or even death in dogs and cats, the number of cases continues to climb across the country. And that's one word I'd rumble with. But let's talk to Dr. Martine Perkins, senior veterinarian and owner of Killara Veterinary Hospital. And we have Dr. on the line. Doctor, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. You're based where, sorry?
I'm in Sydney.
Sydney, all right, thank you. Here, Cairns, far north Queensland, hillbilly up north. So we're talking peak season of paralysis tick season. So, look, a lot of work to be done. And are we getting laxy-daisy in this space, are we?
Are we getting what, sorry?
Sorry, laxy-daisy. Are we not being so focused on this space? I mean, we're talking about a majority, 81% of Australians recognising that a single tick can bite. We need to do more
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely.
Need to do
yeah,
more?
Yeah, look, sometimes people are a little bit sort of slack. They think that it's just a winter, a spring or summer problem. Mm. And so this is actually our peak season now, and people are a little bit late with their tick prevention. Ideally, they should be using sort of long-term tick preventatives all year round, something like Bravecto that works and lasts a long time. So, yeah, it's about being aware of the dangers of tick paralysis.
And they could be fatal to our fur babies, can't they?
Absolutely. It is a potentially fatal disease to both our dogs and cats and, you know, can take a huge emotional and financial toll on people when they end up at the vet in a very sick way.
And what do we do in regarding, well, what's the symptoms first for babies when they've got a tick? Is it up to us to search the body and look for ticks as such, or how's it work?
Yeah, so I guess a couple of things. The common symptoms are often wobbly hind legs, so a little bit sort of maybe stumbling when they walk or not walking up the stairs properly or refusing to walk up the stairs. With our cats, we don't usually take our cats for walks, so people often don't notice those signs. Mm. And the first thing we'll notice is a grunting type sound when they breathe or a change in meow. And dogs can get a change in bark because it can paralyse the respiratory system as well and their ability to swallow. So some dogs will regurgitate their food as well, and that can result in aspiration pneumonia. So they're the common symptoms, you know, wobbly hind legs, respiratory signs, that kind of thing.
Is it simple as the owner of the pet just to pick out the ticks and toss them out? Or do they lay eggs and they create more? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so I guess if they do find a tick, it's important that they pull that tick off straight away. If their pet is even if it's not showing signs of tick paralysis, I would recommend going straight to the vet because the onset of signs can be a little bit late. And the earlier we get them, the earlier we can give them antitoxin and potentially prevent them from getting signs. So, yeah, to pull them out. They don't lay eggs in there on the pet, but there are often multiple ticks. So, you know, just because you've found one doesn't mean there isn't another.
And when we're talking about antitoxin, is it just a one-off thing? Are they then protected forever and a day, or is it a continuous once a year?
Yeah, so the antitoxin is something that we vets give when we have an animal that is affected by tick paralysis. And that's just, you know, that's when we're treating the symptoms and they're markedly affected. Mm. But in terms of prevention, they should be doing year-round tick prevention with one of the long-acting medications like Bravecto.
Okay.
They should be searching their ticks daily, searching for ticks, and being alert to the symptoms.
Look, as we sit on the couch watching our TV, got a beautiful fur baby with us, while we're patting, and that's a good time just to go through their bodies and check for any ticks. I mean, we're always feeding, bathing the dog and what have you, and the cats.
Absolutely.
So we just need to be vigilant in that area, don't we?
Absolutely. Vigilant with your prevention and vigilant with daily searching, especially in this peak season. So running your fingers, you're not really looking for them so much. You're feeling for them and walking your fingers through their coat. 90% of ticks are found in front of the forelimbs. So it's usually around the head, neck, or in front of the forelimbs, but okay. They can be found anywhere.
Sure. And ticks, of course, they jump from one animal to another, don't they?
Yeah, they can do, but once they sort of they're feeding, they're generally pretty happy there. On our dogs and cats, sadly, and they can be on there for several days and cause severe signs.
Mm. And where do they come from, ticks? I mean, paint that picture.
Yeah, so they're in they're on the bush. They're on ferns and trees, okay. And they kind of. When you're walking through the bush, that's how you will pick them up. They're also, on our native animals like bandicoots and possums, but they don't get affected by tick paralysis.
Okay. And they're blood suckers, aren't they? They just suck into the blood, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So they attach to your pet and feed on their blood, and they inject a little bit of saliva into the bloodstream when they do that. Mm-hmm. And it's that saliva that contains the toxin, which affects the connection between nerves and muscles of the body, resulting in paralysis.
And this is the so-called tick season. So we're talking into the summer times, into the Christmas time is when they're active. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So spring is often often the most severe season for us here in New South Wales. But, from August to February is what we kind of call peak season. But as I said, ticks can be found all year round, and we get the occasional case even in winter. And we also get the occasional case of an indoor cat being affected, and that's because people have brought it in on their clothing when they've been out on walks or in the garden. Year-round prevention in all of our pets, whether they're indoor or outdoor, with something like Bravecto, these drugs work, and they're very, very effective.
Stupid question. Ticks don't affect humans as such. Do they latch on to humans?
So they do latch onto people, but they don't cause paralysis in us, but they can cause a really nasty reaction.
Okay.
And some people get sort of allergic type responses and even allergies to red meat and things like that.
Mm.
And, ticks in general harbour other diseases. So, it's important to think about that when you go out into the bush, maybe wearing long sleeves, long pants, and trying to avoid them getting onto you as well.
Sure, fantastic. Thank you for sharing with us, Dr. Perkins. All the best to your team. And
thank you.
We'll yarn soon. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks Bye-bye. For having me.
A deadly yarn there. Dr. Martine Perkins, senior veterinarian and owner of Killara Veterinary Hospital. And so it is the peak of a paralysis. Tick season, so for us to be careful and take care of our furry babies and do what we need to do in regarding the paralysis. This is your daily program, New Mob. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, and that daily number is 1-800-422-416. All is here for your yarn, New Mob, too deadly.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. 98.7 FM BBM.
Took a trip on down to Derby. Didn't know how far I'd get. In an old wagon. Now the Kimberley Highway runs on down the land of my country. Driving through the rain, yeah, I was so at ease. No more fancy lights or streets. Baby, you're the place I wanna be. Maybe you're the place I wanna be. Against that old boat tree.
dry red land, I could see the sky up and not so clear and wide. Now the Fitzroy River runs from the ranges down near the desert and back to the sea. Baby, you're the place I wanna be. A place of history. Baby, you're the place I wanna be. I can't stay old. Strong. And someone said, where you from? Baby, you're the place I wanna be. A place of history. Baby, you're the place I wanna be. Salt breeze blowing from the sea against that old Moab tree, against that old Moab tree.
You ready, Mark?
Yes, I'm ready.
You ready to go? Here we go. Well, it's the last fair deal going down. Well, it's the last fair deal going down. Well, it's the last fair deal going down. Good Lord. On that golf port island, Ida May, don't you cry this time. Ida May, don't you cry, it's time. Well, if you cry about a nickel, you die about a dime. You wouldn't cry, but the money won't mind. Well, my captain, so mean on me. Yes, he is. Well, my captain's so mean on me. Well, my captain's so mean on me. Good Lord, on that gun.
Yeah, Uncle Archie Roach, Heal the People, Too Deadly. This is your daily program. National Talk Black, have your saying yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn with yours truly, your host, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, host for your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program, come to you live here from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumber Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Oh, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister, Rowena Bullio, local girl here in Cairns, First Nation girl. And we're talking about tackling the growing crime rate and she's an Indigenous person who's very strong about our young one, our youth and what have you, who are our future, but the crime rate is out as well, and it's not part of our culture, we know that much. But we're going to catch up with Yarn with Rowena on the line. Roe, good morning. How are you, sister?
Oh, good morning, Trevor. I'm good.
Thank you very much, sister. Thank you very much. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Roe.
Oh, okay. My name is Rowena Bullio. I'm born and raised here in Gimli Wallaburra, Yidinchi land. I'm my heritage is Wagadagam in Western Torres Strait, Mabiok and Meriam in Mera. I'm born and raised local here in Cairns.
Too deadly. Beautiful. Thank you. And big shout out to your mob. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about tackling growing crime rates, which is across the nation, if not the world. Youth crime, it is getting out of hand. And we as First Nation people, well, I will say that youth crime is not all Indigenous kids at that as well. But the fact that some of our kids are doing this sort of stuff, it's not part of our culture, is it?
Well, no, you know, these are all, I think, you know, sort of subcultures of, you know, areas in our community where, you know, if it's impoverished, you know, areas of our community or... But, you know, they're all subcultures, I suppose, but, I mean, it's just getting out of hand. I mean, I'm just here... doing this forum tomorrow because I was a victim of crime.
You're a victim of crime, so you've created a forum, and that's for black and white people come to the table and to talk about this space and look at actions or what can we do to prevent youth crime happening.
Yeah, well, you know, I just put it out to the whole community, you know. Whoever you are, to especially victims of crime, just coming into this space, you know, like you're sort of quite vulnerable and alone, you know, you're sort of isolated and there's a lot of stress and everything and, you know, you're putting out financial outlays and But I've been a community youth worker for the last 40 years in Cairns, and but I've never seen it, like, it's just out of control.
It is.
Lawless Trevor, you know? I thought, yeah, okay, bugger it, you know?
Well, the fact that you're a victim, can you quickly tell us a bit of the story about you being victimised? What happened there, Rowe?
Yeah, well, Bala Trev, you know, I was having a good week at work, true. I was, like, killing it. And then I was taking my son to school that Thursday morning on the 5th of September. And he'd come out and he reckoned, oh, Mum, where's the car? And I looked at that, you know, empty driveway and I reckon it's effing stolen, you know. And I rung up the police and my son had put it, eldest son had put it on Kent's crime and alert page, and he was monitoring that page, of course, and people on there were giving commentary on in real time where the car was. You know, it was just incredible.
Yeah.
And I've been off work. I've since been off work. You know, and it's been quite harrowing. You know, like
of course. Did you get your vehicle back?
Yeah.
I did.
I got it back.
One piece.
Yeah, one piece.
Okay.
But all my paperwork, all my important stuff is. But you know, it was just spread all over town.
Do you know if the culprits were caught, Rowena?
No, I've been looking at that. I haven't gone back to the cop shop or anything, but I've been looking at the. They've got that web page where all the QP numbers come up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know the sort of updates on the. But my QP number hasn't come up, and.
Okay.
You know, so it's been. You know, I've been off work. I've got a big work to do, but I mean, just the stress in the family and that, you know. And you know, everybody's got their own lives to live and everything. But I'm tired, eh, Trev? I'm just sick of this nonsense.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Like, you know, and we understand, you know, that the, you know, some of these children are behind the eight ball, you know.
We work
in this community. I was a sort of troubled kid, you know.
Mm.
Ricky Guevara picked me up, you know, Uncle Ricky picked me up from the streets of Cairns and shout out to Uncle Rick. And, you know, like, so, you know, like, we understand and that sort of thing, but we used to get a bit of a hiding before, you know.
The old ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
This day and age, you can't touch a child in regarding discipline, what have you, they can sue you, take you to court.
yeah, Trevor. And, you know, I've got some experience behind me, but I've never actually experienced being a victim of crime.
Sure.
You know, at this sort of place in my life,
And because you're a victim now, well, you're acting, you're creating a forum. When you look at the QPS, Queensland Police Services, their hands are tied in a way because, you know, if anything needs to be changed, Parliament laws need to be changed. Prisons as such, but something needs to be done. And that's what you're talking about here, about people who are victims of crime. First, to talk about their crime, being victims, but also talking about a plan moving forward to help these kids, yeah, to see a future for themselves outside crime, you would say.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there are sort of, it's nuanced by a lot of stuff here.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm concerned about race relations, I'm concerned about race relations in this town, in this country, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, Trev, I love people and that. And I'll always advocate for the kids and everything.
Yep.
But we have to sort of come together as a community and talk about this sort of thing, and share our experiences, but look
and at find solutions.
Rapid response pathways,
yep.
Like from the, you know, before the kids go to, you know, get involved in the in the justice system.
Yes.
You know, but when they do, what's the continuum? You know, you just need to know where the holes are in the nets, you know, sort of thing. Like where is it? And we have to involve families. We have to involve families. Families.
Well, sure,
you know,
exactly. Yep.
You know, like some services are just doing kids. You know, like and then some are doing men's groups. Some are doing, you know, but where are we coming together? You know, for that family unit sort of thing. And
there should be some onuses, you feel, on the parents as such. You know, but at the same time, some of the parents, some of the grandparents. Also being victimised by the youth and regarding bullying tactics and what have you. But then there's some of the kids who have been treated abuse in all facets from the home front as well. So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, when you look a little bit closer into some of these children's lives, you know, you wonder why they don't want to go home, you know. What does home look like, you know? For these kids.
Sure.
My truck was stolen about 4:45 in the morning, Thursday morning.
Mm.
And I got it back around about after lunch or something like that. All in the same day because of that, all them big Dorises on climate alert.
Yeah. That's a vehicle we can use, can't we, regarding crime alerts or what have you. We need to look out for each other and support each other, don't we, black and white?
Yeah. You know, and that restorative justice, you know, I was talking to the member for Cairns, you know, I just want some information around, for me, you know, and it might help other people too, around restorative justice. And we used to do juvenile, I think they still do it, because I don't know, I just want some people to let us know. So we're not going to fix everything, we're not going to do everything in this one meeting, but it's an opportunity for the Cairns community to come together.
Sure, yeah. So this is your first inaugural meeting, happening this Saturday, is that right?
Sorry?
This is your first inaugural meeting as such, your first meeting?
Community
engagement, yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got some pretty good feedback and, you know, like I don't know who's going to come tomorrow. It could be 5 people, it could be 50 people. You know?
Sure, yeah.
You know,
well, beginning's half done, my sister. The fact that we're starting the conversation as such, and I know there's all different sort of groups happening out there, well, across this country, regarding youth crime and what have you. But the fact that something is, conversations are starting, I'm thinking amalgamation. I'm thinking more people together, you know, instead of having all these little campfires, we should have one big meeting, black and white, all together from all industries, whether you're a doctor or you're a football coach or, you know, you're an elder, whatever case may be. We all need to be at the table, don't we?
We do, Trevor, you know, and because we want to sort of, you know, people might want to call me bleeding heart or whatever like this, but, you know, we love them kids, man, you know, like,
sure.
We don't know in an individual area, but, you know, like but there's just, they're not frightened, you know.
Sure,
you know,
no, and they're not bad kids, there's good, you know, like, kids doing, like, bad things.
Yeah, I mean, they just got no fear. Like, it's just bold. Mm. Like, they're doing it in broad daylight, you know,
sure.
And they're doing it at any time of the day or night, you know. And there's just no fear. It's very blatant, you know. Like it's crazy.
Well, in a way, the law protects them because they know they can't be touched. So, you know, and they know the law. They're very smart as well, you know. So it's just a slap on the wrist and watch house overnight, then out next day. Continue on, sort of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's problematic for them because they'll just end up in the big house anyway.
Exactly, down the track, exactly.
It's problematic. And what they, you know, like have children, what's going to happen to them, babies, you know? Like, you know, it's very problematic, you know, when they get past that age where they go into the, you know, like up the hill here at Lotus or wherever, you know, they come in and out of Cleveland and all that, and they've got kids in there who are behind the eight ball, horrendously, you know, like with literacy and all that sort of stuff and everything. We've got schools that are suspending kids, and we understand to some degree, but where is that flexible learning for them
sure.
to continue to be engaged, or what sort of activities that they have where, you know, people are working in a sort of coordinated approach, you know?
Yeah, and when you look at the curriculum, it's not for everybody, is it, you know? And they say if Gough Whitlam came back to life, the only thing he would see the same is a curriculum, you know. And a curriculum's not the, you know, not for everybody, but then for kids who disengage, I know there's programs starting up now. Maybe that's an avenue, you know.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, in pre-VOC, you know, vocational studies or something, you can be very creative around this. I worked alongside with Mick Miller, who, you know, and team that did this primary healthcare certificate, you know, which has led so many people on to be nurses and doctors or whatever.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's all competency-based training. There are instruments there that we can do, but I just don't know, mate. You know, there's... Like,
hence the forum, hence the conversations. What's the solution?
Yeah,
what's the plan? What's the vision? And we need to get it together, I'm picking up.
That's so important, Trevor, what you just said about the vision, you know. What is the vision for Cairns? I mean, you know, like, Trevor's a lot of stress, man. You know, like, we just come out of the floods.
Yes, exactly.
Cyclone
Jasper,
you know,
Mother Nature, exactly. We're dealing with that. We're dealing with homelessness. We're dealing with, drugs. Mm.
You know, it's a stressful time, and we've come out of COVID, you know, and the floods. We've still got Wujudwuju mob down here, you know. I'm helping, you know, a couple of a brother and sister out from Wujudwuju to support them and everything because they're down here and everything. It's a very stressful situation, and at the moment, and it's as a victim of crime, it just sort of, you know, like, I'll pick myself up, Trev, you know.
Mm.
Because I have the capability to do that, but these kids don't.
Sure, exactly.
You know? So I'm going to go around and visit some families today, you know, because I want to encourage, you know, some of them families, you know, because I know some of them families. That,
of course.
That them kids, you know, like, but I just want to, you know, encourage them, you know, come, it's going to be a safe, supportive place, you know, we'll have protocols in terms of rules of engagement for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a very sensitive issue.
Sure, exactly.
And we want people to be, you know, respectful, we can agree.
Respectful, because we're talking about controlling the emotions as well while we're having the conversations, you know, to have clear head and to then create clear visions, and actions.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, people are coming tomorrow, they don't really know what to expect,
sure.
You know, those that are coming.
Mm.
And, you know, I just think it's the, you know, crisis brings opportunities. I didn't really plan this.
Sure.
You know, we've had sorry business here, you know, with elder from TO, and and that sort of stopped me working because he's very close to me too.
Sure.
We've got sorry business, like frequent sorry business,
exactly,
you know, and he say, you know, and so I, you know, it's sad times, and I just got to do it. I just got to do this, you know, like my niece is just like Rutana, you know, I have to say the name, you know. She had just passed, and she's my beautiful niece, and I'm grieving, you know. I'm grieving for her. She's only young, you know, and she was the first president of the Edinji Youth Subcommittee.
Sure, exactly.
You know, and it gave me a little bit more impetus, because I was like,
true leader.
Oh, man, I don't know about this, you know. I started to doubt myself, and, you know, my confidence had to go and everything, you know, but sometimes we're a little bit hard-headed. No, bugger this, you know, just keep going.
Stand up, keep going.
Some good support.
Exactly.
But, you know, I want to have a look at the education training reforms for the future that they, I think that ran from 95 to 2006 or something. I'm not too sure, which I followed up with the state member here. Because you either got to be learning or you're earning.
Yeah, you one know? Of the two, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see these kids, which way travel is to, you know, if we're going to wag school, you do casual dress, you know, but these people just walking around their uniform. They don't care, you know.
They don't care, yep, straightforward, yeah, exactly.
And you see this, like it, or just kids walking around and, like, it's just like,
well, you're getting a conversation starting, which is fantastic. So for the forum tomorrow, where is it? What time? And is it open? Is there a fee?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, 28th of September, at the Royal Church, 9 Hollingsworth Street, Portsmouth. It's off Lyon Street. It's from 1:30 to 4 o'clock.
So 1:30 to 4 o'clock.
The basic program is, Brother Man is going to do a welcome and, you know, go through the protocols. And I've asked the church pastor to sort of lay the protocols as well for his church, you know, because we need that. I go into my story.
Okay.
And we have an open mic, you know.
Good.
There
beautiful.
Are, you know, so... And then we go into some action planning. So,
good.
And it might be sort of rapid response that we need some action. You know, we need action. We can't.
Well, I want to keep in touch with you, Rowie, and I want to talk about the after the meeting and promote it more for the local mob here in Cairns. But it's also people can pick up what you're saying, picking up what you're putting down across the country. We can operate. I have to go to the news. My sister will be in touch, Rowie. Thank you for your call. Stay strong, sis, and we'll yarn soon.
I love you, Trev.
Love you too.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care, sis. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Sister Rowena Bullier talking about tackling the growing crime of rape, and have a meeting here tomorrow here in Cairns, your mob. So do attend that. With that, Trinity Trev's got a sign-off here. Thank you for your company, mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll yarn soon. Too deadly.